This is Kristen Nicole Young, and you're listening to the Headbands and Hard Truth podcast. Hey, thanks for joining on the episode today. I am finally getting around to recording our home birth story for our fourth born child named Josie. So it's only taken me like 2 months. It's fine. We're fine. I'm just glad that you're here listening. So anyways, I'll go ahead and jump into it just so I don't waste your time. And that way it's not a super long episode. So I'll give you a little bit of backstory just to kind of fill in the history of why we chose a birth, you know, a home birth. This was included in a couple episodes ago when I did our other birth stories for our other three kids, but I'll just kind of touch on it a little bit today. So, so whenever we were first pregnant with Brecken, like when we first found out we were pregnant, like the hospital was the only option. Like home birth was so foreign to me. I didn't grow up knowing anybody who had home birth, or if they, you know, if I knew them, then I didn't know that about them. It was really foreign to me. Although I had a friend who was pregnant about the same time and she was going to do a home birth, but I didn't really like ask a ton of questions in the beginning. And so anyway, it just was kind of foreign. Like what you did was like get pregnant and go have a baby in the hospital. Like that's just what you did. And so like, I didn't really look into anything. I didn't really question anything. I didn't really know what to question or what I had options on. Didn't know I had options. So we ended up having Brecken via C-section, and had all the things in the hospital. He was vaccinated in the hospital. He was circumcised in the hospital, all those things. I'm sure he's going to love that I said that on my podcast whenever he gets older and he can listen to this. So all the things in the hospital, like, you know, didn't know that we had choice or could say no to. So we did that, and it was after he was born, which things change when you have a kid. Like when you are pregnant and then when you have a kid, things change. Like your views change on things a lot of times. You start asking questions because like now you're responsible for this little life and you just want to make the best decisions for them. So anyway, one of my friends in passing was like, hey, you should just like look into the topic of vaccines. And I was like, oh, great. Okay. What does that even mean? I don't even know where to start. So, you know, I Google like, should I vaccinate? And, you know, of course, Google's like, yes, your kids will die if you don't. So, of course, I was like really hard pressed to find actual, you know, like unbiased information. Anyway, that's a whole other episode that I will be doing soon. I have a fun guest that we're going to talk about vaccines. So stay tuned and hold your breath. It will be a while from now. But anyway, so I started looking into vaccines. Well, once you start looking into that, there's like everything else that's tied to it. So I fell down a rabbit hole after Brecken was born. And every time I nursed, which was like a million times a day, I would read and learn and just really try to soak up as much information as I could. And as I was learning about the topic of vaccines, I learned about food and fragrance and cosmetics and literally all these toxins that are in pretty much everything that we use. Like we just live in a toxin filled world and we can't escape them. So we just make the best choices that we can. So I like started figuring out all these things. And that's kind of when we switched to a cleaner lifestyle, like a non-toxic lifestyle, was after Brecken was born. And so anyway, during all of that, I started to ask so many questions because all these things that I had never questioned before, I all of a sudden saw, oh my gosh, there's this whole other like way of living that I had no idea about. Or like if I did, I always thought people were so weird that did it. And so I started to realize things with Brecken's birth that I would not want to do in the future. And I started to realize, you know, that I had choice with it, that, you know, I am the parent, Justin and I are the parents, and we make decisions for our kids. And so we just started questioning everything. And in a way that's like, you know, you question to learn more. And so I just started questioning everything. And I started wondering if what happened with Brecken's birth could have been avoided, you know, with like having a C-section and all that stuff. And, you know, there's no way to tell definitely if like, you know, you just don't know how birth is going to go. Sometimes it's just it's a lot of things that are unknown, a lot of things that just don't go as planned. But there were a lot of things that I started to realize, oh, I wonder if that wouldn't have happened if he would have not been a C-section. So anyway, so because I started learning about all that, we opted for a VBAC for our second born and had a successful VBAC in the hospital. I had an epidural with her and I ended up having to be induced. Well, I chose to be induced with her because I didn't know that I didn't have to be induced with her. And so I was induced with her, ended up having a VBAC in the hospital with her. That was successful. Praise the Lord. I'd been praying for it. And because we opted for a VBAC because one of the things that I had learned and researched and read, and you can look it up as well. And it is just the kind of the correlation between, like autoimmune diseases and immune disorders linked to babies born via C-section. And now that's not always true. It's not like if you have a C-section, your baby will definitely have an immune disorder. That's not it at all. But there is a correlation because the baby doesn't pass through the birth canal and receive all the good bacteria, a specific bacteria that which God intended, intelligent design. I love how God does things. It's so cool. When the baby comes out of the birth canal, that baby receives and is covered in like necessary bacteria that helps their immune system and their gut. There's actually research out there, and it says on Science Daily that this is quote, babies born vaginally have different gut bacteria, their microbiome, than those delivered by cesarean. Research has shown scientists discovered that whereas vaginally born babies got most of their gut bacteria from their mother, cesarean babies instead had more bacteria associated with hospital environments in their guts. Anyway, super interesting. So that was one of the reasons why we chose to do a VBAC, and that was just one of the reasons. But anyway, and also, like, if you have had a C-section, like, I also have had a C-section. So this is not a diss on any kind of birth. All birth is beautiful. All birth brings about life. All birth is special and important and is incredible. And so if you have had one C-section or, I don't know, four C-sections, like, don't feel down on yourself. Like, that is, sometimes that's a life-saving surgery. So anyway, just want to get that out of the way. But anyway, so we ended up doing a VBAC and then just learned even more. And, after Ava was born, and then decided to do another VBAC with Judah, this time unmedicated. And so I did, an unmedicated VBAC with Judah in the hospital, where we live, and ended up being a successful delivery. Also thankful to the Lord. And so when we found out we were pregnant with Josie, I was like, Justin, it's my dream to have a home birth. Like, number one, because we don't opt to do anything that they do at the hospital. Like, we don't opt to do the little eye goop or the, you know, whatever. We don't opt to do all those things anyways. So we don't need that. And then also, I did not want to deal with all the restrictions that were in place. You know, I did not want to labor in a mask. I did not want to have a baby in a mask. Like, that is preference, but I just didn't want to do that. And this is my baby and my delivery, and we didn't want to do that. So I didn't want to deal with the hospital restrictions. And then also just wanted to be in our own atmosphere, our own environment, have our own stuff around us. And I found a really great midwife. And so we were like, yeah, let's do a home birth. And you know, birth is the same at a hospital or home in the sense that you give birth to a baby. Now, the benefit of being in a hospital is like if something in the off chance goes completely awry, there are life-saving, you know, technology and doctors there that can help. However, we live super close to a hospital. So, you know, we decided, well, we'll just try. And if something goes wrong, if something happens afterwards, then we, you know, are super close to hospital. So Anyway, prayed about it and felt super peaceful about it. So, getting into the home birth story, which I know is like what you're here for. I guess I should start with that first. You know, I'm a rambler. So anyway, I've got an outline that helps me stay on track. So what we did to prepare for our home birth was I found a midwife that I really liked, felt comfortable with. So if you're wanting to do a home birth, find a midwife. And, you know, if you don't like your midwife, like, you know, search around until you find one that you like, that you connect with, that listens to you. And that's what we found. We found a midwife that we really liked. We also hired one of my besties to be our doula again. She was our doula for Judah, and I knew that I would not want to do this birth without her. So we hired a doula, which even if you have a hospital birth, I completely recommend a doula. She has been phenomenal in helping with pain management and just pep talks and, you know, helping Justin like feel, you know, confident and just really, really great experience all around. So we found a midwife, hired a doula, and then I started gathering supplies. So I looked online and, my midwife sent me a list, but I also looked online to see what kind of supplies I needed. So I borrowed some from some people that they didn't use, sterile, so they were unopened. For anybody who's going to freak out, they were unopened, sterile instruments. Anyway, so I started gathering supplies. So I borrowed a pool from one of my friends and also gathered like alcohol pads and got a liner for the pool and got, you know, all the things that I would need after birth and during birth. So I took quite a bit of time to slowly gather things. I probably for about a month took time to just like slowly gather things. And that also helped me mentally prepare for the birth. Just to, you know, like every time I would gather things, I would just think about, you know, getting closer to labor and delivery. And so that's how I prepared like on the front end for the home birth. And then also I physically prepared. So some of the things that have helped me, it's hard to tell, like what one specific thing, you know, attributes to a successful delivery or whatever, but these are the things that I've done in leading up to my 3 VBACs that have helped with, I think, positioning of the baby, with health of the baby, and this is just from my experience. So I got adjusted regularly at the chiropractor. That helped a lot with round ligament pain. I don't know if any of you have round ligament pain whenever you are pregnant, but it is the worst. I had it with Brecken, and I was not adjusted regularly with Brecken. And so I can definitely say that was a difference between my pregnancies. So I got adjusted by a chiropractor regularly. I stayed active. I didn't try to sit down a whole lot. I mean, I rested when I needed to. I listened to my body, but I stayed active. And part of that comes with just like, you know, raising 3 other kids. But we tried to go on walks. I just didn't sit around. I stayed active. I took probiotics, but in the form of food. So this is not everybody's cup of tea, or milk, should I say? I don't know. Anyway, but I drank raw milk every day. I literally probably drank like 2 or 3 glasses a day. Raw milk is a super incredible source of vitamins and nutrients, and it's a really great probiotic. And so I drank raw milk every day, but there are other ways that you can get in probiotics, like eating yogurt, or you can take a really good quality probiotic. Anyway, that was one of the things that I did. Also, bounce on the ball to prepare for birth, like about, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks leading up to birth and getting ready for that. I bounced on the ball. And that was part of staying active. So if I was sitting down, like I was on the ball bouncing, or if I was on the ball, like I would do almost like hula hoop spins. And I feel like that always helped a lot, helped position the baby well, and just stay active and stay moving. And then also, if you haven't heard of spinning babies, you should look up spinning babies, and they have some positions and some exercises that you can do to help position your baby. to get ready for delivery. And so those are some of the things that I did leading up to it, is I tried to just make sure I was doing the right exercises to help get her positioned the way that she needed to be to come out for delivery. Now, it's not 100% guaranteed that that's going to happen. These are just things that you can do leading up to the birth to help it go smoother, or I say possibly help it go smoother, to possibly help the baby just be positioned right. And so those are some of the things that I did physically. And then also, it was really important to mentally prepare. I mentally prepared by trying to minimize stress. Like, I would just try to I would just try to do things that made me rest. Now, that's hard when you're taking care of other kids, but I would just would try to minimize stress. And then I just would continually remind myself that God created my body to do this, and I can do hard things, and the Lord gives me strength. And so I would remember over and over again that birth is by design. God created our bodies to give birth. Like, God made our bodies and all the hormones that we have and all the super cool ways that our bodies cope with birth, God created that. And so I just reminded myself that I'm created to do this. I can do hard things. And if something goes wrong, that's okay, and I trust the Lord. And so I just would mentally prepare. I would mentally, like, envision myself, you know, like, in, like, during birth, and just like, think about what was about to happen and just kind of walk through that and ask God for strength. And so those were the things that I did to prepare for the birth. And then, so leading up to the birth, one more thing, and then I'll actually get to the birth, because I know that's what y'all are waiting for. But the atmosphere in the room, what we did was low lighting, just to have, like, a calm and comfortable atmosphere that wasn't, like, super bright lights and, you know, whatever. And if you're wanting to do a hospital birth, we did this for Judah. If you want to do a hospital birth, you can request, like, low lighting if the room has it, or if it doesn't, like, bring a lamp. I don't know. That might be extra, but bring a lamp. I feel like lighting is so huge, like, when you don't have all these bright lights on you. So we had low lighting. I had made a playlist beforehand, of songs that really, encourage me, songs that, songs that I, like, get really pumped up to. So there are some songs on my birth playlist that are like, why is that on a birth playlist? But they're songs that, like, really hype me up. So put music on a playlist that really, that you love and that you feel like could help encourage you. And then we did a diffuser. We had a diffuser going with lavender and peppermint. So it was, like, calming and also kind of energizing. So it just created this really peaceful environment. And I loved doing it at home because just all of our stuff was here. Like, I could lay on my bed if I want. Like, I watched Christmas Vacation when I was in the early stages of labor. And it was great. So we delivered the week of Christmas. So I was watching Christmas Vacation, like, while I'm having contractions. It was great. But anyway, so that was the atmosphere. So if you are wanting to do a home birth, then creating a peaceful atmosphere is really, is a really neat part of it, because it can help you just really relax. Relax as much as you can. So anyway, to the story. So she was born on a Sunday. So on Saturday, I woke up and I was kind of sore when I woke up because I assumed that I had had some contractions in the night. So I woke up sore on Saturday morning and I was having some contractions, but I just kind of wrote them off because they were, like, really nothing, you know, compared to the big ones. I kind of just paid attention to them a little bit, and they were pretty far apart. They're about one every 30 minutes or one every hour or so. And so that kind of happened all day Saturday, and they did, and I wasn't really banking on anything. I was like, you know, if they go away, like, I'm not really going to bank on this. I'm just, you know, going to see what happens. It's not happening until it's happening. So on that Saturday, they were about, they started getting closer together as the day went on. So at about dinner time, Hey, sis. Little Ava is in here with me. Yes, you can go outside. And so they started progressing around dinner, and they were still coming. And so around dinner time and about bedtime for the kids, they were coming probably every 15 minutes. They were still kind of far apart. They were about every 15 minutes or every 10 minutes. So still wasn't really, you know, still wasn't really like super concerned at all. But I told Justin, like, I think it's probably going to happen tomorrow or tonight. I don't really know, because they're still coming and they're getting stronger. And so anyway, so that night, I was having those contractions and they started, you know, getting a little bit more intense, but I still was just, you know, doing stuff. And so after we put the kids to bed, we started setting up the area, and we had intended to do, or we had, I guess, kind of planned for doing a water birth, but knowing how birth goes, we knew that, you know, it may happen in the water and it may not. So we just decided to have a pool there just in case. And so we started setting up, and I say we, Justin, he did all the work. He did such a great job. And I kind of started like mentally preparing between contractions and, you know, getting my stuff together and figuring out, you know, like what I wanted to eat, and then taking a breath for a contraction. And so that's what we did. So Justin set up the area and we made sure that everything was ready to go. And so as the night went on, as Saturday night went on, I called my doula, which is also one of my best friends, so it really worked out great. And she came over probably about 11 p.m. that night. And so we watched a movie together, and I just was contracting, and they were getting stronger, and they were getting longer. And so we started timing them, and it was a very long night. We didn't go to sleep at all. And so we were timing the contractions, and the best position that I was in, and I don't know if this helps anybody, but the most comfortable position, and also the position that helped things continue to progress, is I would stand at the end of our bed, and I had a pillow on our bed, and I leaned over the pillow whenever I had contractions. So whenever a contraction would start, which you can kind of feel it because it you kind of start to tighten up a little bit. So whenever a contraction would start, I would take a really deep breath from my diaphragm and just breathe through the contraction. Just, I wouldn't fight it. I would welcome it and understand that every contraction is what my body is meant to do, and also one step closer to meeting our new little baby. So I would stand, I stood at the end of the bed, and I leaned over a pillow, and Jessica, my doula, she would, whenever the contraction started to get more intense, she would push really hard on my hips for counter pressure, and that helped a lot. So I know some of you are asking about pain management. That was one of the things that we did for pain management, was I say we, like everybody else who gave birth, that I did for pain management. That was one of the things that I did for pain management, was I would lean over the bed, and whenever I had contraction, I would breathe through it and try to stay calm, because that helps a lot. And she would push on my hips for some counter pressure, and that really helped. So pretty much just labored like that through the night. And because I was standing, I tried not to sit down a whole lot, but I listened to my body, and I didn't want to wear myself out yet because I wasn't at the hardest part yet. And so there was a point where I got in bed and I just kind of sat down and, you know, took a break. And so then I got back up, and they started getting stronger and farther, I mean, and closer together and lasting longer. And so it was probably 3 a.m. and I was, I don't know, because she didn't check me, but I was probably at an A. I was probably in transition. And we called the midwife over at about 3 a.m. So it was a very long night. I was so tired. Called her about 3 a.m. and I was still doing okay. I felt like the pain or the contractions were, they definitely were super painful, but I felt like with those breathing techniques, and the counter pressure, it really was, I was able to manage it. Another thing I did for pain, management was I had a like a menthol topical roll-on, like a CBD menthol topical roll-on. And some of you might be like, oh my gosh, she used CBD. Anyway, if it's not your thing, that's totally fine. That was what I used, and I feel like it did help a lot. I would rub it on my belly, and then Jessica would rub it on my back, like my lower back. And so I feel like that helped a lot too. So midwife got there and things continued to progress. I had not gotten in the pool at this point because I wanted to wait until things were like really super intense, and I didn't really have much of a break before I got in because I didn't want to slow down labor. Two, I wanted to use it as a way to calm down and like a different pain management technique. So I didn't want to get in too early. So anyway, my midwife got there about 3 something, and I was in transition. And as she was there, about 3-4 o'clock or so, I started to the contractions really were intense. So I got in the pool, and I feel like it really helped me relax, and my body completely just calmed down, stopped, had no contractions for probably a good 5 minutes, and it was the break that I needed. And so I was in there, and then contractions started picking up again, and I was probably at an 8 or a 9. It's like 5 a.m. in the morning, and so I was at a 8 or 9, and I just continued to labor. My contractions were really intense. They were so intense, and I just it was everything I could do to just make it through a contraction. And so that was really all I was focused on at that point. And I was so exhausted. And so just my body was just so tired from laboring and from contractions. And so I ended up getting out and taking a break. Getting out of the pool and taking a break and standing up, trying to get things continuing to move because she still was not at the point where I was ready to push. And I had been in labor since, you know, the night before. So I wasn't ready to push yet, but I was in extreme, like intense contraction pain. Like I knew that I was getting close to a 10 if I was not already at a 10. So about 7 a.m., I had my midwife check me because I had been just in having these intense contractions. Like I knew that I was nearing the end, and I knew that it was, well, I didn't know I was nearing the end because I didn't feel a light at the end of the tunnel, but I knew that the pain was towards, you know, a 9 or a 10. And so I had my midwife finally check me, and she said, yep, you're a 10. You are totally there. You're, you know, completely effaced. You're completely open. And so it's like, okay, yeah, this is great. And so, I tried every position that I could, like in the pool, but I just could not get a good position to like bear down and just, you know, have those contractions. And so my midwife was like, well, why don't we go labor on the toilet? And I was like, okay. So, and at that point I was, you know, like anything to get this baby out pretty much. So I was already at a 10. I was having 10, like level 10 contraction pain. And so I was ready to get the baby out. I was so exhausted. I just did not know if I had anything left in me. And so, and didn't have a break between contractions. And so, I knew that the toilet was one of those things that like helps contractions. Like I've heard so many stories of women like that sending them into their, fetal rejection, fetal ejection, reflex. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. So got up and labored on the toilet, and that started to progress things more. Like her head moved down more. And anytime I was in like a vertical position and I could like kind of bear down, that's what helped me progress. And so, and also, this kind of goes back to the podcast that I had a couple episodes ago. I don't know if I mentioned it there, but so my OB that I had, the very first one, told me that I would never be able to deliver vaginally. And so I was like, oh, okay. And back then I was like, yeah, I guess I'll just always have to have C-sections, which of course, like, I was so traumatized by, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to deliver that way. Anyway, turns to find out that I just need to be vertical. So an epidural does not help me laying on my back. So it's just the front, my frame, and the way my pelvis is kind of has a little bit of a tilt to it. So anyway, all that being said is, so the midwife had me on the toilet, and that is when things started to progress a little bit more. Well, they were getting so intense, and she still was not coming out. And so I was like, well, I'll get back in the pool so I can manage my pain a little bit better. And so, after I got back in the pool, I was trying to get in all sorts of positions to, you know, push, but the ejection reflex still hadn't kicked in yet, and I was in so much pain. And so anyway, basically from then on, it just was, let's find a position that I can get in that will help the baby come out. And I mean, I was at a 10 at like 7 a.m. and it was, you know, getting like 9 o'clock, 9:30, and she still hadn't come. And so I was done. I was literally praying in my bed. I was like, God, please, like, please make this stop. Like, please let her come. Please let me push her out. Like, please, I cannot bear it anymore. I have nothing left. And that was what I kept telling, like, I kept looking just in the eyes. And I remember, like, kind of tearing up at one point, but I don't think I had the strength to even cry. So I was like tearing up, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And Justin was like, yes, you can, like, you can do it. And so it was like praying and asking God, like, please carry me across the finish line, because I have nothing left. And so, basically from then on, we just tried so many different positions. So we decided the pool was not the place. I couldn't get in a good position. I couldn't bear down. I couldn't, you know, it just was not a great place for me to be. So we tried, like, you know, laying in certain positions, like on the bed, and that didn't work. And so my midwife was like, let's go back to the toilet. So I was like, okay, this is like 10 o'clock or something. And I had been at a 10, dilated to 10 for several hours now, a few hours. But nothing was wrong. She, you know, for y'all to know, nothing was wrong. She kept checking the baby's heartbeat. The heartbeat was fine. Her, you know, heart rate would come back up after contractions. It wasn't dipping. It wasn't low. Everything was fine. And so she just wasn't coming out yet. And so it was that last time on the toilet. So glamorous, y'all, that my birth story is, I labored on the toilet and there she was born. like, what? So there I was in the bathroom, and I was contracting. And with every contraction, I started trying to push, even though the reflex hadn't kicked in yet. I was just trying to push just to get her down a little bit farther. And so all of a sudden, like, as I was sitting on there, all of a sudden the reflex kicked in, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't. And my midwife was like, you have to get off the toilet. She can't be born in the toilet. And I was like, oh no, I can't get off. So I literally squatted down. I can't even tell you how fast that little bathroom in our room turned into a delivery room. It turned into a delivery room so fast. Like, there were like pads on the floor everywhere, and everybody flooded in there. And like, my midwife was there, my doula was there, and I was in a squat in the corner of our bathroom up against the shower, and Justin was sitting on the toilet lid, and, you know, just really glamorous. And the fetal ejection reflex kicked in, and I started pushing just in a squat in the corner of our bathroom. And I was thinking, you know, and if you ever delivered like unmedicated, you'll know, they call it, like, when you push the baby out, and I'm sorry if any men are listening to this, like, I know this is probably, like, you know, you're like, I don't want to hear about this. Well, this is for all the moms. So when I started pushing her out, they call it the ring of fire for a reason, and I was at that point. But I kept thinking, okay, I have to get through this. Like, I have to just suck it up and get through this, because I am almost there. I cannot stop now. If I just push through. She will be here and this will all be over. So I just literally was like, all right, I'm going to give it everything I've got. And so I was so tired. Oh my gosh. I was literally leaning up against Jessica. Like, she was behind me holding me up, and Justin was right beside me holding me up, and I just gave it all I got. And so I felt her head start to come, and then I felt her head come out, and then Justin was like right there. And so my midwife was like, well, Justin, you're going to pull her out. She was like, pull her out. And Justin was like, what? And so he was, you know, being kind of gentle, like trying to pull her out. And the midwife was like, Justin, pull her out. And so he just literally pulls Josie out right there in the corner of the bathroom. And it was the biggest relief. Oh my gosh. After, like, I guess 12 plus hours of labor, it was the biggest relief whenever she came out and he pulled her out. And I just, like, sat there for a minute. And then it was so wonderful because afterwards I got to walk with her to the bed. So, like, I hadn't delivered the placenta yet, so she was still attached via umbilical cord. And so I walked with her holding her, and she was still attached. And I, like, they put stuff down on our bed so that nothing would get on it. And I laid on our bed and I just held her and I fell asleep because I was so tired, or I was in and out of sleep. And I nursed her for the first time, and it was just the most wonderful experience. Like, after she came out, and I wouldn't have changed a thing. And yes, I would totally do a home birth again, even though that was a really difficult labor. But it was just so wonderful to be in our own room, in our own bed. And Justin passed out, Ava passed out, I passed out. And we just got to lay in our bed for, I don't know, like 45 minutes. And then they came in and helped deliver the placenta and, you know, cut the cord and wear and measure and all that kind of stuff. And so it was really special. But yeah, so it was a very, very, very hard labor. And, you know, it happened. I'm really thankful the way that it happened. You know, I know some people have really difficult birth stories, and mine pales in comparison to that, because I know that some people, have to have a lot of work done or a lot of intervention. And I'm really thankful that it happened this way. It was really hard. It took everything out of me, for sure. So anyway, but then little sweet Josie was born, and she was our biggest baby yet, which we don't have very big babies, but she was 7'9", and, and my midwife was like, well, that's the biggest baby you've ever delivered, so that's why it probably took a while. And then also, her head was just so intact. Like, her head shape was just so perfect. She decided that she cared more about her head shape than coming out sooner. So anyway, but yeah, so that is our home birth story, and we would totally do a home birth again, Lord willing, and if we decide to have more kids. Because it was wonderful, and it just was a great experience, and the Lord really was gracious to us. So anyway, that is our home birth story, and now Josie is almost 2 months old this week, actually. I can't believe that it's gone by so fast. So anyway, that's all I've got to say. If you are interested in having a home birth, I am by no means an expert at all. There are people who know way more than I do and who have done this way more times. But if you are interested in home birth or have any questions about it, feel free to reach out to me on Instagram, or you can email me. I would love to hear from you. I'd love to connect with you. And I hope to see you later.